Did I say John chapter 14?
Yes.
Amen. Good to see you all. John 14, chapter 26. And now, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Lord, as we daily try to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying world, we need the light of your word more than ever before. So speak to us through your word, Lord. Make it plain. Teach us, Holy Spirit. It's your promise that the Holy Spirit will teach us, will comfort us. So we ask that you would teach us this morning, teach us daily, Lord. We have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying this morning.
Yes.
Speak to our hearts, not just to our heads, Lord. Speak to our hearts. And then let us apply it to our life. So that we can walk with you daily. We just don't want to walk with you on Sunday or Sunday and Wednesday, but Lord, we want to walk with you daily. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts so it can go deep and your word can root itself, find root in our heart, and then we apply it to our life daily. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 14, 26. I'll read 14, 26, and 27. The word reads as such, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, bless you. He shall teach you all things." And if you don't have it underlined now, make sure you have all things underlined. And bring all, underline all again, all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give, underline give unto you, not as the world giveth, bless you, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, underline let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, underline both. Somebody say amen. So we've been going over this for a couple of weeks now. So we understand that the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and teaches us. So this week, somebody taught you this week. Somebody did. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit, maybe it wasn't. But by default, something had to teach you and I this morning. Teach us how to respond. Teach us how to live, how to act, how to speak. The Holy Spirit promises to teach us. In the back of your bulletin, it's a prayer there that we've added. I've challenged us to pray that prayer for 7 days, from Sunday to Sunday. Amen? So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that we should pray on purpose. Family, we have to get into a habit of praying on purpose. So the pray and ask God to give you insight on a situation, a circumstances, a person, a relationship, a child, a job, your business, your ministry, your spouse. It says, with all you're getting, get understanding. Lord, help me embrace the fact that where I am is exactly where you want me to be. When I embrace this fact, I will experience the peace and contentment of God like never before. Holy Spirit, give me the insight to embrace my current situation and be content. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Teach me your way in every situation in my life today. Bring to my remembrance how I should live, speak, teach, act, behave, and respond. I know that honor, promotion, grace, glory, and life comes from being taught by you. I will embrace your instruction all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So I added a little bit to that prayer. So now I'm going to challenge you for the next 7 days. Make time to in addition to your other prayers, amen, include that. And allow God to lead your life each and every step of the way. Amen. In every situation, every circumstance, family, we're going to come up against some things this week. We're already dealing with things. And let's be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Underline in verse 26, underline the comforter. The comforter being interpreted in the Greek is an intercessor. So the Holy Spirit prays for you. He's a consoler. Amen. When we go through the loss of a loved one or a situation, the Holy Spirit consoles us. He's an advocate for you, which means the Holy Spirit fights for you. Situations, danger, seen, unseen, he's fighting for you. Then he comforts you at our roughest times. If you allow the Holy Spirit, he will comfort you. Then he's the help. He's a helper. He helps. He's an aid and an assistant. So allow the Holy Spirit to lead your life. Amen? Amen. It's all the things. Who doesn't need an intercessor? Who doesn't need a consoler, a comforter, a helper, and a sister? Thank you, Lord, for being there. So then we touched a little bit on verse 27 where it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Jesus said when he's leaving, he leaves peace. He's yielding his peace to us, so it's a gift. Giving to us, he's bestowing it to us as a gift. So make sure you make a side note that peace is a gift. So if you're not experiencing the peace of God in your life, then it's maybe because you haven't received it. You don't want it, but it is there. Here's what the word peace means. Exempt from rage and havoc of war. Sometimes we don't need the anger management class. We just need to humble ourselves and give it all to Jesus. Anger is a secondary emotion. I'm angry because of this or because of that. Anger is a secondary emotion, usually based on unforgiveness. So since I haven't forgiven what somebody did or what somebody said or what my dad did or because my dad wasn't there or my mom wasn't there or because of this or that, I'm upset with the world. So don't say nothing to me because it will be a bad day for you. But that's because I haven't cast all my cares upon Christ and I haven't accepted the gift of peace. And so I'm still dealing with havoc and war. So it's the exemption from rage and havoc and war. Peace of God is security, is safety. It's a soul assured of salvation through Christ and fearing nothing. And then it said that peace is content with its earthly lot. So that's how we got into being content where we are. Paul said he's learned. You have to learn contentment. You have to learn to be cool where you are. You have to understand that where you are is right where God wants you. You have to learn that. And some of us that are a little bit older through experience, we've learned it. Okay. Yes. If God would have wanted me somewhere else, I would have been somewhere else. Yes. If God would have wanted me to be something else, I would have been something else. So where I am now, I am cool with that because that includes the peace of God. That's why I added that to the prayer. Where you are is where you want to be. Then you experience the peace of God like never before. And this is one thing that got me. It says it's the contentment, the word content, when you break it down, it says that it's independent of external circumstances. So I'm content regardless of what's going on. So you know what? Once I get married, I'm going to be happy. See, no, that's an external circumstance. If you're not cool now, you don't have peace now, you will not have peace in your marriage because it doesn't come from being married. Amen. It comes from God. You know, as soon as I get a divorce and I'm single again, I'm going to be cool. I just need some space. If you don't have peace in your marriage, you're not going to have, because it comes from God, you're not going to have peace outside of it. Amen. The enemy will play with your mind and make you think that you need something else to be something. It's independent of external circumstances. Once I get my job, know your job. Don't look to your job to give you peace. Don't look to your spouse to give you peace. We make that mistake and then we get into situations and we're looking for something that they can't provide because it comes from God. That's why Paul said, I've learned to be content. Where am I? You have to learn that. It doesn't come from the size of your bank account or from the lack of it. We talked about it last week. If I had $1 million in a bank or if I was overdrawn, you'd never know by how I treat you, how I talk to you, how I interact with you. Whether I'm employed or unemployed, I'm not going to treat you any differently because I have the peace of God which passes all understanding. I am content where I am, whether I have kids or whether I don't have kids. A friend of mine at the workout with at the gym, and he and his wife have been married maybe 15 years with no kids. And they're cool with that. And I tell them, don't let people pressure you, because the last thing to do is to go get a kid and you didn't want a kid. Even if you are married, that's the last thing. Because trust me, kids don't bring peace. Well, somebody, if your kids are here, just turn your head and say, amen. Oh, once we get a kid and start a family, then we'll... No, that's not... It's independent of external circumstances. Because those of us who have had kids, we say when the kids... Even when the kids leave the house. Somebody say amen. Amen. But if you didn't have peace with God, it doesn't matter if they're there or if they're not there, because it doesn't come from them. It doesn't come from your job. It doesn't come from having a college degree or a high school diploma. So if I have a college degree or a high school diploma, I'm content where I am because I'm at peace with God.
Yes, yes.
It's independent of external circumstances. That's why you have to embrace where you are is right where God wants you to be. Amen. And then you can experience the peace of God. Then he can lead, guide, and direct you. Yeah. It's so personal. It's just between you and God. All right, so here's the issue. Okay, let me read what I added to the bulletin. It's when where you are is where you want to be, you will experience the peace of God like never before. Embrace where you are and be content. That's God's peace. Let me say that again. Embrace where you are and be content. Remember, we didn't talk about not having ambition and hopes and dreams. That's okay, but in the midst of that, be at peace with God. Somebody say, man, when you in the midst of all that you're doing, be at peace with God. Or I'm trying to get the promotion on the job. I'm trying to get the contract over here. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to get my diploma. I'm trying to get my degree. I'm trying to prepare to get married. I'm trying to all that. But be at peace with God in the midst of that. That's the key. Don't think that once you arrive somewhere that you're going to have peace and contentment. That's not how it works. Independent of external circumstances. So here we are. It's a dilemma that we have faced with our modern culture. Okay, it's two things. Remember, John always wanted to show how Jesus was God. That's why the book of John, it talks so much. It starts off, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John 1:1. Then John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. So he was trying to show how Jesus was God. The other thing he was showing, how it's two opposing entities. You have God and you have the world. And that's our struggle. Because we're in this culture now where the world is trying to shut out God. Yes. Say, we don't need God. You don't need God anymore. Take him out of the schools. Do not say Pledge of Allegiance to the flag because it says one nation under God. We don't want to say that. The Boy Scout pledge, it has God. Take it out. So they're trying to tell you don't need God anymore. Take God out of marriage. It's old fashioned. It's old, outdated. I can marry whatever I want to marry. Take God out of it, because if God is in it, God instituted marriage between male and female. Amen. So I got to take God out of that so I can marry anything I want to. So we have two opposing entities, and that's what John is saying. You're always going to have the world and God, and here we are in the middle of that. And it's really tough in this day's culture. We have to choose a side. And if you say I don't choose a side, then by default, you've already chosen a side. If you're not on God's side, then hello, you're on the other side. Right. I'm just cool where I am. No, you're not. Or you might think that. So here's the two things in our culture that we have to always be careful of. So here's the two opposing sides. You have the American dream, versus the Great Commission. So America says there's a dream. You get your house, you get your car, you get your white picket fence, you get your family. And trust me, I'm cool with that. But if that's all you're focused on, if that's what you're after, then God's saying, and John is saying, you've missed it. Look at the Great Commission. Let's review it really quick. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. Now, here's our assignment. Before Jesus left, he gave us an assignment. He gave the disciples assignment, which they passed down to us. But the American dream is trying to give us another assignment. And this is for our youth, too. They're trying to give them another assignment. That's why we have to teach our kids. And parents, as a college professor, I mean, it's just amazing. I've done work, and Sister Dee Dee, she knows, because she's in the institution as well as the correctional institution. I've worked in the correctional institution. I've taught at college, sometimes in the same day. And I used to think that the correctional institution was a breeding ground for Satan, which it is to an extent. But at least they have a chapel in the institutions. And then I go to the college campus, and there's no chapel. And they're teaching them philosophy and all this other kind of stuff, telling you God doesn't exist. And it's about binge drinking and partying, and that's what you're paying $50,000, $60,000 a year for your kid to come out with a degree in alcoholism and drug abuse and confused. Hear me now. We got to teach our kids. College is not the end-all, be-all. People, all they want, hey, what college your kids go to? No, we're actually following the Great Commission. College is secondary. So we have to be, I'm telling you, I don't know which is worse. Now. Well, I do, because one has a chapel and one doesn't. At least when you're incarcerated, you realize, man, I gotta get myself together. I need God. I'm going to go to chapel just so I can get out of my cell. Over here, hey, man, hit this, drink this, do this, study that, do that, and you think you're fine. So Jesus left us a great. He told us what to do. You should never have to ask the question, what is my purpose in life? Here it is right here. Now you ask God and you pray, God, show me my method for the Great Commission. But as a Christian, we know our purpose. The world wants to tell you something else. Well, he was a good man. He made people laugh. Are you kidding me? That's not going to get you into heaven. Well, he had the most points, most home runs. That's not going to get you into heaven. And we create these whole little industries and these societies within the society. And in a world that God created, nobody wants to hear from God. And as men, we teach our kids about sports. We talk to them about number three and number one, but we don't teach them about the three in one. And that's how society confuses us. And then they have shows. I mean, I'm a big sports guy, but you could watch a show and all they're talking about is some guy hitting the ball and hitting the home run. And it just runs 24 hours a day. And you'll never learn about God. And they talk about it and they do the analytics and all that kind of stuff. And you listen to that and it's like, wow, in a world that God created, nobody wants to hear about God. So here we go. Jesus, did I say Matthew 28, 18? Thank you. This is a Great Commission before Jesus ascends up. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Somebody say amen. Amen. That word power right there means authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach, which means make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Go and teach. Make disciples. That's all the apostles did. They preached and teached daily, to the point where they were thrown in jail for not talking about Jesus. And I'm not saying don't go on your job tomorrow talking about Jesus and lose your job. I'm not saying that, because it will happen. We have to use a little bit of wisdom, but an opportunity and the time that you can share the gospel, you should be doing that. Your lunchtime is your time. And if you can find a way to, I remember when I was teaching school and all the students, they just came to my class during lunch. And I had my Bible on my desk and we'd talk about it. And then Tracy, she knew my lunch time, so she'd call me during lunch. And she said, "What is all that noise?" I said, "Well, the kids are in my class. I thought you were at lunch." "I am. I can't get rid of them." "Well, call me back later." "All right, honey, I will." But in the midst of me teaching, I was making disciples. And they couldn't tell me, "Mr. Carter, you can't talk about God at your lunchtime or in your lunchtime. You can't tell the students to get out during." No, they come in. They volunteer to come in. So I knew what my purpose is to make disciples. My method, your method is different, but don't ever have to ask God, "What's my purpose? I feel like I have no purpose." That's because you don't know the word. He says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples." Teach. He gave that to all those who were listening. So we know our purpose, but God, you need to be praying for your method. Your method is just a disguise for your purpose. Amen. All right. So here we are. We have these two opposing sides, the world, the American dream and the Great Commission. All right. You can accomplish the Great Commission within the American dream, but you cannot accomplish the American dream outside. I mean, the Great Commission outside of the American dream outside of the Great Commission. It'll turn into a nightmare sooner or later without God. Amen. Okay, so we have to determine what's more important to us. And I call it a mirage. The American dream, to an extent, is a mirage. Mirage being defined as something illusionary or insubstantial. So then here's a question for you and I. Have you and I made the mirage our reality? I'm so confused that the mirage has become my reality and God is nowhere in the picture. That's what we fight against every day. That's what you and I fight against every day. All right, so take a look at, let's stay in Matthew before we go back to John. Go to Matthew 6 and 33, a very familiar passage. But Jesus gave us the formula to everything that we want and everything that we will ever need. You read chapter 6, he's going through and he's talking about commitment. He's talking about wealth. He's talking about prayer. He's talking about giving. He's talking about fasting. He's talking about your daily needs. And then he gets to Matthew 6 and 33. So he said, with all that, everything that's going on in your life, but, so that means it's added to it, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, young folks, here's the formula to everything that you always wanted. Seeking God first and his righteousness, which means living right. And he says, and then some, a few things. Shoot. Let me see. You got the right scripture, Natalie? Okay. Yeah, you do. Okay, it's me. It's my notes. Okay, I'm tripping. Okay. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, God never tells you to just live a boring life and you can't have any fun. I know the teenagers, "My parents don't want me to have any fun. You're ruining everything." No, we're trying to show you how to do it the right way. Because everything you wanted, God has it for you already.
Yes.
But you have to go after God and live right. And then you get it. That's what God told Joshua in the book of Joshua. You will have good success.
Yes.
You can have good success and you can have bad success. Any success outside of God is bad success.
Amen.
Seeking God and his righteousness is the good success, where everything that you wanted is added unto you. And if God wants you to have it, then you'll have it because you're going after it the right way. So within this is wrapped up our contentment. So then we have to ask ourselves the question. Am I content with where I am? What part of me is not content? What part of me have I given to God? Am I content with my wife? Am I content with my kids, my job? Because remember, you don't really go to work to make money. You go to work to make disciples. So what are we not content about? What part of our life, when we talk with, when I talk with the men the other Sunday, what little corner have you not given to God that you don't have peace with? Because that's the only reason that I don't have peace is because I haven't given that to God. What am I still trying to hold on to? Because Jesus is trying to tell us that the contentment can't be based on stuff. It can't be based. If your contentment is based on getting stuff, then it's something you haven't given to God. So it's just the matter of, do I accept the peace of God? Am I going to line up or not? All right, let's go back. Let me show you something else. Let's go to John. Let's go back to John. Let's go to John 16:33. So we go from Matthew 6:33 to John 16:33. And we're talking about peace with God. We start off with love, and love filtered into peace. And we're going to keep adding. It's amazing how everything that the world is looking for is in God. The world is looking for love. The world is looking for peace. And God is, I got it right here.
Yes.
God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Said, I give you peace, not as the world give it. Don't get it twisted. It's a difference between what the world says is peace and what God says is peace. And then we look at John 16:33. Jesus, your writing's in red because it's Jesus speaking. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you that where?
In me.
Wow. That's where our peace comes in Christ. If you're looking for it anywhere else. And that's why people go from here to there, because God created us with this hole in our heart, so to speak, that only God can fill. Yes. And we'll try and fill it with a lot of other stuff. That's why Paul said, man, I've learned to be content. I guess Paul tried to fill it with other stuff, too. And remember, Paul was a murderer. He was killing Christians until he was on his road to kill more Christians until he had his encounter with God. But he said, man, I've learned to be content. I've learned. It's just as you go through life, you just learn. And family, here's God. He's talked about love. Now he's talked about peace. He's saying, let me read it again. These things I have spoken unto you that in me. Remember, independent of external circumstances, you might have peace. But here's the opposite. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I can't just leave that out. I can't say go after God, you get everything you need. So now I got to let you know. But in the world, you're going to have tribulation. It's going to be stuff that's going to happen. Jesus prepared them. He's preparing us. You got to deal with stuff. Tribulation in the Greek being interpreted, anguish, burden, persecution, trouble, pressure, affliction, distress, and straits. That's why Christ said, get in me. But if you get in me, you got peace. In the midst, why? Look at why. But be of good cheer. He said, but be cool with it. Don't stress out. He says, I have overcome the world. So what is he saying? When you're in me, you got peace. And since I've overcome the world, when you're in me, when you're dealing with the tribulation, the pressure, the stress, the strife, the frustrations, the temptations, distractions, I've already overcome that stuff. So since you're in me, you're going to overcome it, too.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
He said, I've already dealt with it. I dealt with it on the cross.
Yes. Yes.
It's a smoke screen. It's going to try and get you distracted, but stay in me. You have the peace covering, and then you're going to overcome it. Because I've already done the work for you. You just have to get in me. It's already works, already done. But okay, we do our own thing, and we're always stressed out, and God is, you're really making that too hard. You're really making that harder than it needs to be. But I'll let you go ahead and do your thing, because the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to force you. You have free will. So go ahead and do your thing. I'll be here. But you're really making that too hard. So we get back to our obedience. Do we want to be in Christ? All right. So, because you're going to be distracted. You're going to leave here. You and I, we're going to leave here. What does it mean? It means that you're going to leave here. We're going to leave here. And something's going to try and distract us to say, you know what? You need to handle this on your own. You need to do this. You need to do that. Don't worry about praying. Just go handle it. The world tries to tell our kids, you don't need to pray. You ain't got time to pray. You can wake up and get on Instagram, but don't pray. You can wake up, send out a Snapchat, but don't pray. It tells those of us that are not so young that you need to wake up and watch the news. Don't pray. Go see what's happening in the world today. And then in the midst of your day, check out Ellen and Oprah and Dr. Phil and the rest of them. Don't pray, though. Don't pray. Don't seek guidance from God. Check out Jerry Springer. How many DNA tests can you do on one show? So it's telling our kids to do everything but seek God in prayer. And Jesus is saying, in me you got peace. Outside of me is tribulation. And even with me in the tribulation, I've already overcome it, so you don't have to worry about fighting that. Yes. Cast all your cares upon God, because he cares for you. So as we go through life, it's there, and I'm content. I'm cool where I am. I've learned that. Paul said, I can be abased, I can be abound. I've just learned that wherever I am is where God wants me to be. What I have to deal with, Christ and I, we're going through it. Because he's already overcome it. So Holy Spirit, teach me how to get through this. Give me solution. Give me the answer. Give me insight. Give me discernment in this situation so I can overcome it, because I'm in Christ. Christ has already overcome this. So allow me to follow his steps so I can overcome this too. And then you get ready for the next. Amen. Because it's coming. Amen. Sister Sherry, is coming. But I'm in Christ, so I get through it. And you never know how I'm dealing with it by how I treat you, because I'm content. I'm at peace with God. I know that where I am is exactly where God wants me to be. Otherwise, I'd be somewhere else. And so I'll never mistreat you or disrespect you, because I'm at peace with God. And you have to learn that. I mean, family, it's a mature Christianity that God's calling us to. And you have to learn how to apologize when you're wrong and say I'm sorry and move on, and yes, because it's about being at peace with God. And you know that's part of it. God said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes. And it's always something we got to deal with. Yes. Let me read that again. 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. We got it. I got to go through some stuff. I'll be pushed out of my comfort zone from time to time. Oh, but he said he didn't leave it there. Thank God he never leaves. He says, but thank God for the buts. Yes. Maybe that didn't come out right. Okay. All right. He said, but be of good cheer. Don't be discouraged by what you're going through. Stay in Christ. Don't be disappointed. Don't be heartbroken. Be of good cheer. Stay in Christ. I have overcome the world. I love that. Yeah. back to verse 27. John 14, 27. And we have one more scripture. It's the second half of the scripture. It's another scripture I want to share, but we're running out of time. I'll have to do it next week with our friends and family. So, hey, they're just going to walk into it. Amen?
Amen.
They got to deal with it, too. It's one more scripture I'm going to want to share with peace. It gets really deep and we don't have time. But verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And then here's a second half of the scripture we'll get into next week as well. "Let not your heart be troubled." And that's why Jesus said, "I've already overcome." Get in me.
Yes.
I've overcome the world. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Why? Because he's already overcome the world. So this is a question you and I have to deal with. So this week coming up, just think about your situation, circumstances, success, failures. What are you afraid of? Jesus is saying, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't let anything trouble you this week. Take it to God. That's why the prayer, I'm challenging us, start your day off with that prayer. So you understand that God has it covered already. What's going to scare you this week? What are you going to be afraid of this week? And now I guess the bigger question would be, why would you be after reading this and praying? Why would you be afraid? Why would you be troubled? Why would you be scared? So, family, here's a challenge as we close. You will either be taught by the world or you'll be taught by the Holy Spirit. You got to make that decision. And then those of us that are parents, we have to make sure that we're teaching our kids, whether they want to hear it or not, teaching them according to the word. So when they get, my kids, I sleep well at night. The two that are out of the house, hey, I care, but I don't care. I mean, you know what I mean, but I taught you, it's up to you and the Holy Spirit now.
That's right.
I can't live that for you. I can't play Holy Spirit for my kids that are out of the house. But I can pray for them. That's why I go to God in prayer. But I put it, he said, that's why the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. So I'm praying, God, bring to their remembrance everything that you put in them. If you don't teach your kids, there's nothing to bring to their remembrance. So as we're going through our week, I'm challenging us to continue. Let's pray every morning. That prayer takes 1 or 2 minutes. Before you get into all the other stuff that's going to try and make you afraid and be troubled, pray. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let us pray quickly before we dismiss. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day. Lord, we even pray right now for next week when our friends and family come in, Lord. We're praying that we would be able to bring someone in who does not go to church and would come and fall in love with you because of the presence of your Holy Spirit in this place. Not because of us, not because of the music, not because of anything but God, you loving them to yourself. So we're praying for our service next week. We're praying for today. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Maybe it's a youth. Maybe it's someone who's not so young. But God, we want to make it available, make you available to them. We want to lead and guide them to you just like someone did to us. So if you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart. Or maybe you're not sure if you're saved. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I want to be sure this morning. If that's you, you're not sure if you're saved. There's no reason not to know. Because God has made it clear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if that's you this morning, you say, Pastor, I just want to be sure. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. Maybe you're here, you want to rededicate your life, Pastor. I've been in the world so much, I forgot about God. And The world's been teaching me everything, and I've been frustrated and I've been afraid with no peace. But I know I need to rededicate my life this morning to God. I'm going to take the challenge. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get close to God. I'm going to get in God so I can overcome my situation as well. If that's you, you want to rededicate your life, go ahead and elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you this morning. The word says that God is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If that's you, elevate your hand for rededication. Maybe you hear and say, Pastor, I don't have a church home. I've been visiting. I've been coming, but I've never joined. But this morning, I want to go ahead and join. I know my purpose now is to make disciples. I want to join the church so it can help me find my method and my ministry to move closer to God and make a difference in the world, in this world. If that's you, elevate your hand if you're looking for a church home. And Lord, we thank you and we bless you for today, Lord. We know there's none like you. We know that you're awesome. God, we know that in you, Lord, outside of independent of external circumstances, that's where our peace in Christ is. So we thank you for teaching us, Holy Spirit, leading and guiding us. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask my sister Sochi to come up and we want to pray for her. And stand right here, Sister Sochi. And I'm going to ask some of the ladies to come up, surround her. She's coming up for membership. And we thank God for adding to his house. So, Lord, we thank you for our Sister Sochi, and thank you for touching her heart to join us here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. God, we know that she knows her mission, which is the Great Commission, Lord, but we thank you for joining her here with us. So we're praying right now for her method, Lord, that we'll do everything that we can to help her complete her assignment, Lord, with the method that you've given her, with the ministry that you've given her. Just like we are surrounding her now, Lord, we promise to surround her, to support her, to be there for her, to challenge her, to comfort her, to pray for her, to help her to be all that you created her to be, Lord. We thank you for touching her heart and joining us here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. We're honored at all the churches that are out there. We're honored that you, God, would lead her here. So we want to be good stewards over what you've given us, Lord. So we pray a blessing over her life, her family, her kids, that we'll do all we can, Lord, to be that family for her, that church family, committed to prayer, fasting, reading the word, being a support. Help her to navigate, Lord, through this world together, through the word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we bless you on today for this life that's been added to this body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Family,
stand to your feet. We thank God that he's come to give us life and that more abundantly. Give someone a hug. In Jesus' name, and you are dismissed.
Hey, BC. What's up, baby?
Good, BW.